Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. If you'd like to send us an email, you could do so at this address, comments@afr.net. This is the American Family Radio Network that you're listening to. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano, and we welcome Steve Jordahl to the microphone.
Good morning.
Hey, Steve's going to lead us with our top news stories, but before we do that, Ed?
Yeah, I want to let our listeners know about Operation Preborn. This is going to be our kind of 2020 campaign. It is Sanctity of Human Life Month. And probably most of our listeners are aware that abortion is the leading cause of death in the U.S. and the world. That's an extraordinary thing to say, but it's true. 860,000, more than 860,000 abortions are performed in the United States every single year. So a ministry called Preborn and American Family Radio, we're asking you to partner with us to help moms choose life. What is the way that Preborn does this? Well, they use ultrasounds. Now, the ultrasound allows a mom to hear her baby's heartbeat and then to see the precious life that is within her. When that happens, 80% of the moms choose to keep their baby. And so these centers are given an ultrasound, and the way Preborn does that is it raises money through this campaign. So what we are asking, if you will participate and join this campaign, a gift of $28 provides one woman seeking an abortion a free ultrasound, and that gives the mom the opportunity to choose life for her baby. If you provide $140, that provides five free ultrasound sessions reaching five women, and our goal is to help save 2,000 babies. So please consider any size gift. It all makes a difference. Here's the number to call, 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. Or you can donate online this week at afr.net. 100% of your donation will go directly to the pregnancy centers providing the ultrasounds. 877-616-2396, or go to afr.net. You'll be hearing that all over American Family Radio this week as we partner with Operation Preborn.
I need to do some due diligence, deliver on a promise that I made. I know you guys talked about the Kansas City game in the first part of the hour, but I did promise Ray, I was talking with him, Ray Pritchard,
who lives in Kansas City,
who does live in Kansas City, that one of the most incredible football games I've seen, and he is duly proud of his Kansas City Chiefs, and it kind of pains me to say that, being a Raider fan.
Yeah,
but they played a fantastic game, and for what it's worth, we don't have to delve into this, but I think it's going to be San Francisco and Kansas City.
I do too. And in fact, I told Brian Fisher, who a lot of our listeners listen to and love, he was taking part in a remote fashion with our leadership meeting this morning. I told him, I said, the best thing that happened for football fans, I think, and I told Brian, I said, the worst thing that happened for you this weekend was the Chiefs coming back.
Right.
Because that is going to be a barn burner of a Super Bowl, I think, 49ers and the Chiefs.
To borrow from Corso on ESPN, what's his name?
Lee
Corso. Not so fast, my friend.
Yeah.
Tennessee Titans might have a little bit to say about that.
Well, that is true. But
they've beaten the New England Patriots and the Baltimore Ravens back-to-back.
And the Packers are going to have something to say about it.
I mean, that is true.
Anyway.
And props to the Tennessee Titans, because they have had a whale of a postseason. I think the Packers aren't going to be able to I just don't think either of those teams have
Tennessee
the
Titans
firepower.
Have a running back that's 7'4". 479 pounds.
He runs like it.
And that's he's
He runs.
He took on a Mack truck, and the Mack truck lost. Okay.
Yeah, now that was a shocker.
So anyway, No, we'll see what happens. But so anyway, you were saying that Ray
living and
Ray
dying,
Pritchard living in Kansas City. He wanted you to give props to the.
He wanted to let people know he was living and dying by the Kansas City Chiefs for the weekend, and ended up having a good day on Sunday.
Now he lived in Dallas for a long time. He's always been a Chiefs fan, as opposed
Ray. To Ray is whatever town he's in.
I think it became a Chiefs fan when he moved there.
Okay,
right. He Ray. You can't blame him. I mean, he's moved around. He was in Chicago.
Yeah.
And then he was in Dallas, and now he's in Kansas City. So he's a fair-weathered fan. No, I'm just teasing. Join with the home folks. You know, but anyway.
We had some.
One other thing.
Yes,
and then before you get into that. The reason one of the main reasons the NFL is able to enjoy the success they're enjoying right now is because they quit that kneeling nonsense. Have you noticed this?
Yes.
Nobody's kneeling anymore.
And we did have somebody on Facebook say, so y'all still watch NFL after months of them wouldn't stand for the flag. That's not true. Now, I was very upset with the NFL, the leadership of the NFL, not cracking down on that. But the vast majority of players stood for the flag.
Yes, they did.
And so
it was like a 5-10%.
Yeah.
Of the players of the NFL who'd got all the attention, were doing the kneeling for the national anthem started by Colin Kaepernick, 5-6 years ago?
Yeah.
Or so. But they cut that out when they realized that the few that were doing it cut that out when they realized that they were going to really, really harm their business. All right. Or either they lacked real conviction on the issue and they were just being woke.
Right.
I don't know. But no. A lot of people, including myself, we did tune out the NFL there for a couple of years when they were.
And I did that too.
Yeah, I did too. So, but they're not doing that anymore.
Right.
So it's up to each individual how long you want to go on with that kind of a protest. I don't blame people who do.
Yes, that's right.
People want to continue to not if they ever watched in the first place. But all right, go ahead, Steve.
I wanted to. We're going to let you, Ed, pick up on something that I think you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, good. Thank you. I also want to, and we appreciate our Facebook fans.
Absolutely.
And on Facebook, even if we sometimes.
We win with our Facebook fans.
That's right. But some of our Facebook, some of those watching us on Facebook asked about during the last segment, because we were talking about Democratic candidates. We did leave out Michael Bloomberg, mayor of New York City. And I'll just be honest, he's kind of been an afterthought, you know, for me. But he does have the potential to make waves here during the primary season. He's got a lot of money. He's a billionaire, multi-billionaire. And so he does have the possibility. I think he's a far lefty as well. So I don't know whether he splits the far lefty, vote. But I don't want to leave him out. I think he does have the potential.
Wasn't he a former Republican, though?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he was.
So to your point, the Democrat Party is incredibly split right now. And one of the things that's happening, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is in trouble with the DCCC, which stands for the Democrat Congressional Campaign Committee. They're the people who decide who to back, the official Democrats are going to back when it comes for races for anything from state houses all the way up through president.
Right.
And they demand that sitting members of Congress and people who are fundraising for their own campaigns donate a portion of their funds to the Democrat, the DCCC, so that they can allocate it to candidates that they want to back. Guess who refuses to give any money to the DCCC?
AOC.
AOC.
That's a lot of letters, folks.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has started her own political action committee. She has raised over $300,000. She's fundraising for her own campaign like gangbusters. $300,000 of that, she is deciding what candidates she wants to see, and some of the candidates that she is backing are primarying candidates that the Democrats want to see in there. She is not playing ball. Oh. And this is the split.
That's disappointing.
Yeah, this is the split. She recently had an interview with New York Magazine where she said she criticized the Democrat Party for being too big of a tent, saying that she did not belong in the same party as former Vice President Joe Biden. And I would probably say she would add Michael Bloomberg, who has a new nickname, by the way. The president has settled on a Mike Bloomberg nickname. It's Little Mike Bloomberg. Mini Mike Bloomberg. Mini Mike.
Because my understanding is he's short of stature.
Right. Take it however you will.
Mini Mike.
So AOC, that's not the Democrat Party she wants.
Well, I find it interesting here, AOC, who would be a big pro-union person, right?
I would imagine, yeah.
I mean, she would definitely be a big pro-union person. And here yet, the Democrat Party has a union that she doesn't want to be a member of, so she doesn't give her donation to. And yet she's going to reap the benefits of being part of the Democrat Party.
Yes.
You see how this works?
Do you think the DCCC, as this is called, the Congressional Campaign Committee, do you think they give money for her reelection when she's refusing to give money to the DCCC?
I bet they're going to freeze her out, but then again, she's raising so much money, she might not need their money.
But does the DCCC, do they... I'm sorry. That gets caught in my throat.
Campaign Committee.
I know. I just hate. I hate because it sounds like they're trying to be cool.
Congressional the Campaign Committee. Right.
Do they? But, excuse me. Just one. Do the DCCC? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Did they give auto insurance discounts?
They might. Only to the.
You're thinking of AAA.
Are you? Oh, my bad. Yeah. My bad.
That's good, though. I like that.
I was wondering about the auto insurance. Just call. Our discounts on a restaurant.
I'm sorry you broke down on the side of the road, sweetie. Just call the DCCC. Right, They'll come out and change your tire.
Yep.
Then take you by the Cracker Barrel. They'll give you a discount.
My point was, does the DCCC freeze out someone as popular as AOC?
They might. I mean, she's actively campaigning against the DCCC and saying that she wants to run the party. She's fundraising. She's choosing her own candidates. She wants to reform the split I was talking about before the break in the
Democratic Party. You could have her supporters and people who think like her refusing to give money to the Democratic Party and instead giving it to AOC and her PAC.
And everybody that's giving to AOC is probably not giving to another candidate
This is extraordinary. What's happening?
It really is. Hey, I wanted to talk about our group, a wonderful group that we kind of have is under our umbrella called 1 Million Moms. And they have called attention. It's caught a little bit of publicity. They've called attention, out attention to a Burger King commercial. They're the ones that brought to our attention the Netflix travesty of the 13 Reasons Why about teen suicide that's been so harmful.
You're talking about 1 Million Moms.
1 Million Moms.
Right.
And they are calling out a Burger King commercial for this Impossible Whopper with the meatless Whopper.
Yes.
Now, 1 Million Moms has nothing against meatless burgers, but what they have something against is the commercial for this, wherein an actor or a man on the street, we're not sure, who no one knows, uses a profanity in the ad when talking about the hamburger. And as Monica Cole, the director of 1MillionMoms.com, points out, they didn't have to put it in the script, and if it wasn't in the script, they didn't have to air it, but they did.
Yeah, the mission and purpose of 1MillionMoms.com is to hold companies accountable for promoting indecency or immorality on the airwaves, basically is what they do. And it's good that somebody does this. Mm-hmm. Because our culture has become so coarse and so desensitized to often vulgarities.
And wasn't that the genesis?
So we don't even notice it anymore. So
yeah.
So what 1 Million Moms has said is to Burger King, hey, you shouldn't be using profane words to advertise your hamburger when your advertisement is meant for the general public,
right,
including children. And I think that's a reasonable thing to say to Burger King, and hopefully Burger King will get the message. I know 1 Million Moms, again, that is a division of our ministry here, but they've been very successful over the years in getting companies' attention on things like this. Yeah. So you might say, well, it's kind of, you know, in the grand scheme of our problems in America, it's kind of silly to be talking about curse words in television advertisements. Well, no. I think that if you don't sensitize these companies, then what's the next step?
It goes it keeps going down.
Keeps going further.
Keeps going down.
So
now,
next we're going to have a using God's name in vain?
Right. So here's the thing. Obviously, compared with what's happening in Iran or the economy, obviously the word that they chose to use in this Burger King ad doesn't seem to be that important. But I would argue that this is the way cultures become more and more coarse, and they do it one small step at a time. This is kind of the general idea in terms of human behavior as what they call the broken window syndrome. That if you have a broken window in a community and you have a street with a number of broken windows and it's not fixed, it is absolutely proven by science that people stop crime goes up because people lower their own standards for behavior, and then you get graffiti. And so, yes, on the grand scheme of things, this may not be by itself all that important. It is important to stand for common decency because otherwise the culture becomes more and more coarse. And I would argue that that is why we do the Christmas campaign and Keep Christ in Christmas campaign every year as we come up to the run-up to Christmas. People always criticize us for that, and they say, on the grand scheme of things, you think it's important that the stores mention Christmas? Well, it's a part of a larger trend, and you stand for it here so that it doesn't get any worse. So, folks, if you want to find out more about this, go to 1millionmoms.com. You spell it out, 1 million moms, the word million, 1 million moms. Or you can go to afa.net, and at the top of afa.net, there is a little blue bar, and you can click on 1 Million Moms right there.
And you can sign up on a letter that's going to be sent to Burger King asking them to stop.
If you don't think this is important, then you don't care if they say it when you come up to the counter at Burger King. Yeah, that's right. So
you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Did we respond to the major issues that our Facebook folks had?
We love our
questions
Facebook
about. Fans. Yeah, absolutely. You're listening to Today's Issues on AFR. Tim here with Ed and Steve Jordahl. We thank you for listening to American Family Radio. Next topic, Steve.
I came across an incredible story right here in our home state of Mississippi. There's a veteran named Jerry Holloman who is at a facility, a rest home facility, a recovery facility down in Hattiesburg. Well, he is an Army veteran, 40-year Army veteran, served in Vietnam, served in Iraq, has bronze stars, was exposed to Agent Orange, suffered cancer, recovered, and has lost his legs due to diabetes. Well, he went and was fitted for some prosthetic legs. He got a pair of prosthetic legs in August from a company in Mississippi, in Hattiesburg, called Hanger. Hanger is the name of this company. They make prosthetic legs. Well, he was being visited by a representative of Hanger who had his legs, was going to do some adjustments on them so he could actually use them because he couldn't right out of the box, and asked this guy to sign a paper from the Veterans Affairs and from his insurance company saying that he would pay for part of these legs. He rightly, I think, thought, I did this for my country. The Veterans Affairs people are supposed to pay for this, so he didn't sign it. But it shocked him when the representative of Hanger walked out and repossessed his legs.
Oh, that's...
He walked out with his legs, which Holloman kind of shocked him. He ended up calling the Clarion Ledger, which is the Mississippi, Jackson, Mississippi newspaper, a couple hours after that, because the Clarion Ledger called Hanger, said, why did you do this? You want to comment? The guy came back in, returned his legs, but said, I will not adjust them until we settle the payment thing. So he has the legs but can't use them because Hanger or the VA are refusing to pay for these things.
Well, I mean, this is one of those things where, again, like we were just talking about, you go, okay, a little misunderstanding. No, this is an outrage. This guy is a veteran, served his country, and I don't know. Get it together, Veterans Administration and Hanger, the company. Get it together and get this solved. This guy shouldn't be harassed like this. I don't want to look. This is wrong, wrong, wrong.
Right.
Get this fixed.
Yeah.
Why this company would even think about doing this to a veteran, and the VA should pay for the guy's legs.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. We take note every so often of some athletes in the news that are exemplifying their faith. I wanted to bring you one more. There's a pitcher for the Cardinals who is a three-time All-Star, former World Series champ. His name is Adam Wainwright, pitches for the Cardinals. He tweeted this out recently on the 9th of January. Hey, everybody, this won't be for everyone, but it's an important part of my life. Most of y'all probably want to talk baseball, etc., but if you want to read through the Bible with me in 1 year, you can join me on my other Twitter account, which is Walking with Waino. And then he is directing. He tweeted there, hey, guys, I'm so glad y'all joined the group. This is a cool opportunity for me to walk through God's word and community with you. It's my prayer that this will be a blessing and a daily encouragement to you all. I can't wait to get started January 12th.
So, this is Wainwright. What's his first name?
Adam.
He's kind of extraordinary on a number of levels, one of them being that he has been with the Cardinals his whole career, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's very unusual, especially someone who's an all-star that could,
He's 30, what is he, 37, 38 years old, something like that?
He's in his 30s.
I think he's 38.
Yeah.
But, listen, good for him, and I hope that there are a lot of Cardinals fans that'll read through the Bible. That is, you know, baseball's fun, but that is life-changing. Maybe eternity changing.
Yeah, good for him. I'm a lifelong Cardinals fan.
There you go.
Good to see that coming from Adam Wainwright.
And then I wanted to end today on another kind of sports good news note. If those of you who are watching the Seattle Green Bay game, when it came to halftime, something special happened at halftime of that game. Instead of going over the highlights and everything, the team said, we have room on the set for one more person, and a representative of the Hall of Fame came out to make an announcement and went up to Jerry Jones and said
Jimmy Johnson.
Let me start over. Good morning, Tim. Nice day. He went up to Jimmy Johnson, former coach of the Dallas Cowboys, and said this.
It's my great honor to tell you that you're going to be the 328th Hall of Famer into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and your legacy is going to be in Canton, Ohio forever. Congratulations, Coach.
The only thing I can think of is all the assistant coaches that have worked for me, all the great players that have played for me, they're the reason I'm here, and they're the reason I can't talk.
It was very emotional.
Wow, that's.
Saw that when that was happening on television.
I'm gonna go watch that. I didn't see that happening.
That was incredible.
Live.
He was the head coach of the Cowboys when they won two of their three world championships back to back to back back in the '90s with Troy Aikman and that bunch.
Yeah, right. Emmitt Smith.
Troy was actually broadcasting the Seattle Green Bay game.
I saw that.
They showed him in the booth, dabbing back a couple of tears.
Hey, listen, and that's a classy thing for anyone who succeeds at anything, and that is to remind people and to thank the people that helped him or her.
Amen.
Classy response by Jimmy Johnson, and I'm glad that must have been a great moment for him.
When I go into the Broadcasting Hall of Fame, I will remember you guys.
Thank the little people,
I just want you to realize.
Huh? Thank you.
Thank all the little people.
I will. I mean, I'm not going to forget you. Okay.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Your dad's in the Broadcasting Hall of Fame.
I didn't even know there was one.
The National Religious Broadcasters Hall of Fame.
Yes. Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yes, he is. I was there for that ceremony. We are done here. We hope you have a wonderful rest of the day, and we'll see you back here tomorrow, everybody.